In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special welcome to our visitors and our guests. We're happy that you're here, and we hope you feel at home. There was an atheist man walking on the ocean shore, and he ran into a peculiar object as he looked at it closer and closer. It was a genie bottle. And he picked it up and he saw that it was all kind of dirty, so he started to clean it up. And as he cleaned it up and rubbed it a little bit, genie comes out. And genie says, "Master, I grant you 3 wishes." And the man turns to the genie and says, "Well, I gotta tell you, I'm an atheist, you know, I don't really believe in these things. So I guess the first thing I wish was that I could believe." And poof! The man began to believe in the genie. And he couldn't believe it. He said, "Oh my God, this feeling I have inside, I never had this. I really do believe in you. This is amazing. I wish all the atheists in the world would be able to believe." And poof! All the atheists in the world began to believe in the genie. And of course, now he's thinking, "Oh, this is not good." He said, "I'm running out of wishes. You know, he's had 3 wishes and I've already killed my first 2. He says, "Really, really, I wish I had $1 billion. And genie turned to the atheist man and said, "That's what you wish? You wish you had $1 billion? "Yes, I wish I had $1 billion. And nothing happened. The man began to scratch his head and worry. He said, "Wait a minute, I asked you, you know, to believe in you, and I did, and then all the atheists in the world began to believe, and where's $1 billion? He says, "Well, just because you believe in a genie, it doesn't mean I'm real." You know, when you look at today's gospel, in this appearance of Jesus to his disciples, and it clarifies right at the beginning that Jesus is speaking to Judas, one of the disciples, it says, not Iscariot. Jesus was calling them to faith, to believe. Jesus was telling them that they must believe in what he had taught them, and that they must be open to the Spirit, the Advocate that will come from the Father, that God will send the Spirit upon them. He's calling them to really believe, to have faith. A few days ago, National Geographic published an interesting article based on a study that was done in the UK. And it basically was titled something like this: the fastest growing religion in the world. And then the subtitle was, no religion at all. The fastest growing religion in the world. No religion at all. But the article was trying to highlight, and it put out one of those typical National Geographic maps, you know, with the colors and stuff. It was trying to highlight that in the developed nations throughout the world, both in our continent and in Europe and other parts of the world, in Asia, there's a growth in atheism. And also an indifference to religious faith in general. It's not just a phenomenon within Christianity, by the way. It exists within Judaism and even Islam, and almost every major world religion is experiencing this. And as I was reading this study and thinking about what it means for the world today and what it means for us, I think that this gospel kind of brings it together, doesn't it? Because here is Jesus telling his disciples they have nothing to worry about, to put their trust in him, that he must return to the Father, but that the Spirit will come to guide them. Basically, Jesus is calling them to faith. Jesus is calling them to believe that everything will be okay and that everything that he told them would be fulfilled. But no matter how much someone tells you something, faith is not the result of accepting a bunch of doctrines. It's not even the result of accepting a belief system. Faith is the result of a relationship with the beloved, a relationship with God. And I think what Jesus was trying to say to his disciples, to his friends, was this friendship, this relationship that has been formed during my time here with you will not end because I return to the Father. This relationship leads to eternal life. And I will send the Spirit to guide you to all truth, and you will know my truth, and you will know my love, and you will know everything you need to know and understand if you simply open your heart and mind to faith. Ultimately, that's the big challenge for the 21st century church. The big challenge for the 21st century church is to be able to communicate the power and the importance of this connection with God, this relationship with God. We live in a world of connections. We connect in so many ways. You know, I remember, you know, never ever thinking if you got to a hotel room or if you got to a conference center or if you got to a place that you needed to be connected. As a matter of fact, you kind of disconnected while you were somewhere different because that way you were able to do what you were going to do. But nowadays we're all connected and you want to know what the Wi-Fi code is and how do I get in to the internet and how do I get more information and how do I get my information faster? The truth is, we live in a world of connections. But when it comes to the spiritual connection, we really seem to struggle with that. And as we hear about this growth of atheism, you know, I don't see it all as bad news, by the way. I've got to tell you. I see it as a challenge. I see it as a challenge for today's church. This isn't the first time the followers of Jesus have had to deal with a bunch of people that just didn't believe or didn't agree with what they believed or agreed. Remember the early church? They had to deal with a whole world full of paganism, people worshiping false gods and giving themselves to all kinds of different practices that really hurt them ultimately and took them away from what God meant them to be. And the early church didn't go into a kind of pity party and lock themselves up and get sad. On the contrary, missionary activity became stronger. They went to further and further away places and farther away cultures, and they went beyond their comfort zone. And when they went beyond their comfort zone, they began to learn different languages. I mean, think of the great missionaries to Russia, the missionaries to the Chinese, the missionaries in Africa, in all these faraway lands. And people went there and learned the language and the culture and the thing. Why? Because the message of Jesus was important enough for them to do that. For the 21st century church, the challenge will be to understand that our message is not just one more message among lots of others, that we're not just part of a buffet of religious traditions and all kinds of options, but that we believe Jesus came to bring us salvation. And because we believe that Jesus came to bring us salvation, the message of Jesus is important enough for us to become contemporary missionaries, missionaries today. And while the mission field may look different and the circumstances of the mission may be different, certainly we must take every opportunity we can to announce Jesus Christ and to give witness and personal testimony of what the Lord means to us. Because the only thing that will invite others into a relationship with God is that personal contact, that personal experience with someone who believes. And when we say we believe, we're saying very, very strong words, you know. In today's world, when we say we believe or I believe, you're saying very, very strong words. Because the fact is, a significant number of people, just think about the people down your block and what they do on Sunday morning. And I'm not talking about the Jews or the Muslims, I'm talking about the Christians among us. Think about the Christians down your block and what they do on Sunday morning. A significant number have absolutely no need to worship or don't feel called to worship. And part of the reason is the relationship is not really there. People talk about being spiritual but not religious. That's fine and dandy. But once you leave that spiritual zone and you begin to step into the everyday world and your everyday obligations in life without a sense of worship, without a sense of the religious experience, it's very, very hard to feel nurtured or strengthened for the journey. The journey of the spiritual life requires worship. It requires a time of prayer. For us as Anglicans, it requires, you know, Eucharist and listening to the Word and worshiping together corporately, coming together as people of faith and saying, yeah, this is important for us. This nourishes me. This strengthens me. It gives me a time to focus or refocus my life. It's good for us to be aware of what's happening around us. And when I read an article that says that the largest new religious group is the non-religious folks, or the N-O-N-E-S, the nuns, which is what sociologists call those who just don't believe in anything. They say it's prevalent among our young people and our young adults, but I would say to you, it probably goes across all generations. It's a challenge for us. It's the challenge that Jesus gave his disciples in the gospel that Deacon Deborah just proclaimed. It's the challenge to go into the world and bring good news and invite others to this relationship that we have discovered as so important for us. The risen Jesus says to his disciples, do not worry, I will send you the Advocate. I will send you the Spirit. You will not be orphaned. You will not be alone. But he was inviting them to open their hearts to faith and to be able to truly understand what God wants for us. We must always have open hearts, hearts open to faith, or renewed faith. For many of us, faith is just part of our upbringing. I realize that for many people, this is just the way I grew up, Father, I hear many times. This is just what I learned from my parents and grandparents. This is why I do it. I don't know how many of you remember the old Messy Marvin commercials, but when Hershey's Chocolate decided to come up with a no-spill bottle for the Hershey's Chocolate, they came up with this maybe 9, 10, 11-year-old kid. He was a nerd. His glasses were always broken. Everything was always a mess. They called him Messy Marvin. And so Messy Marvin would run around the house with the Hershey's bottle while his mother from the kitchen said, Marvin, Marvin, come here, Marvin, it's time to bring your milk. Come drink your milk. And Marvin would eventually get to the kitchen counter there where there was a nice big glass of milk. And after he ran all over the house, of course, Hershey's wanted you to know that no matter what the kids did, the bottle would never spill the chocolate. And so eventually, when the bottle and the glass of milk met, Then Messy Marvin was able to squeeze the bottle and the chocolate would go neatly into the big glass of milk and the chocolate would deposit on the bottom. And it wasn't until Messy Marvin's mom came with her big spoon and stirred it all up that it became chocolate milk. And then you could see the satisfaction in Messy Marvin's face, the smile, once the chocolate milk happened. And then he would begin to drink it. See, for most of us, the gift of faith, the gift of grace received at baptism, it's like that chocolate. It's been poured into us. It's just part of us. But it kind of just sits there for many of us. It kind of just sits there. And it isn't until the action of God's Holy Spirit stirs it up, or some event in our life, sometimes it's a tragic event, sometimes it's a happy event, sometimes it's something we went through, a diagnosis, a problem, a difficulty with someone in our family. Something happened, and all of a sudden, we became aware of the importance of faith, and through the grace of God, we become aware that God is really there. It takes the steering of the Holy Spirit for things to happen. We must be willing to not just pass on the gift of faith, pass on the gift of belief in Jesus. We must be willing to continue to be missionaries in our world today. We have to do all that, but we cannot forget the basic ingredient. The basic ingredient is through God's grace and the action of the Holy Spirit, faith and belief actually happens. It's the action of God's Holy Spirit that makes it all happen. So let us pray today, asking God to make us renewed believers and to be able to bring the gift of faith to our world. O Lord our God, as we gather on this Sunday to worship you, on the sixth Sunday of Easter, help us to be mindful of our call to discipleship, of our call to be able to make disciples of others. Our invitation, our love, our genuine testimony and witness of faith will bring others to you and help us to know, Lord, that we must actively in our world share the gift of our faith with others. The circumstances around us are saying that many simply choose not to believe in anything. You are calling us, Lord, to share the importance of this relationship, a relationship with a living God, with so many who don't see any real need for it. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of this need, of the urgency of the church's mission in today's world. And help us, Lord, never to become bitter or weary or sad because of what surrounds us, but instead, help us to be lights, to bring light to the darkness, to bring truth where there is doubt, and to be able to bring hope, which really is the result of having faith. Because it is through faith that we can hope in all things, and especially hope in you and trust in your promises. And we make this prayer wholeheartedly through Christ our Lord. Amen.